Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, worship team. Phenomenal. I told them in the back, too, you guys aren't here to sing and play instruments. You're to lead us into the... I'm talking to you guys. You're leaving. I'm just playing. I told you to go. I was just joking. No, but hold on a second. I got to talk to them real quick. Hey, guys. Thank you for leading us into the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we just needed singers and instruments, we could just put a wall right here, right? We don't need to see them. But they're worshiping, leading us into the presence of God. And I thank you for that. Thank you, tech team, for helping us hear what is going on. Hallelujah. And see what is going on. And also online, I'm sure you're thankful for the tech team as well. Greeters, ushers, kids, workers, thank you, security team, everybody. Pastor Mark, thank you for doing the welcoming this morning. Praise God, praise God. Welcome to First Open Bible Church. Welcome to the house of God. Amen? Amen, amen. Who am I? My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. So even with all the stuff that's going on in our world right now, everything that's going on, I pray that your 2021 has been a blessed one so far. If it has, say amen. Do you have any New Year's challenges or promises that you've made? How are they shaping out so far? Like 2020, like 2019, okay, all right. Don't give up. Don't give up. You can do it. Stick with it. Stick with it. See, the beginning of something new, like a new year, is a great time to also do a fast for the Lord. Amen? See, I want to encourage you to fast in whatever capacity God has put upon your heart. What is a fast? A fast is a physical thing that you sacrifice for a supernatural thing, a spiritual thing. For instance, it could be food. It could be social media. It could be drinking that coffee that you might be addicted to. It might be something else, soda. It might be something in your life that God puts upon your heart that says, give that up for me. And when you give that up for me, and every time you think about that thing, I want you to pray. Right? And every time you pray and fast, see, through prayer and fast, you see a what? A breakthrough. There's breakthroughs that take place. Breakthroughs take place. See, fasting is an important thing, and it is all over God's word. Fast, it's very, very important to do, especially when a new thing happens, like a new year. So I want to encourage you this week, ask God, what is it that I can fast for him? And then every time I think about that, I'm going to pray because I'm hungry in the natural for that, but I'm going to sacrifice my flesh and I'm going to lift up my spirit and I'm going to feed my spirit so it grows stronger than my flesh. And then when I do that, I'm going to pray that God does something amazing, and through that sacrifice, God will push through and there'll be a breakthrough. It happens over and over and over again. This is January of 2021. We need to give God his first fruits, our first fruits to God, because his mercies are new today, church. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says this: the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Praise God. However you walked in today, his mercies are new today. Whatever you faced yesterday, his mercies are new today. They're afresh. Come on, I like that word. Today's word, afresh. Each morning. Hallelujah. We need a fresh anointing of God, a touch of God, the presence of God. And we need a fresh revelation of his word. Hallelujah. So as we look around our world today, we see division. By the way, I love looking out from this point of view. Other than the fact that y'all sitting 6 feet apart. Hey, John, in the back. Hey, good to see you. Somebody's waving at me. What's up, man? Saw you over here, and then see you here. Just everywhere. There's a lot of division in our world today, but as my point of view looks here today, I see young, old. I see different races, different colors, different opinions. Y'all worshiping together. So although there might be division out there, God needs to bring unity in here. We see division. We see confusion. We see depression. We see disrespect. We see hatred. We see evil, and we see destruction. With what's going on around us, where do you seek to find your answers? By the way, it's not on TV. It's not on social media. Any answer that you want will be out there. But what answer does God want? Where do you seek to find peace, hope, and comfort? As we see with the current events, even this week, time is drawing near for Christ's second coming and the rapture of his bride, his church. Times are getting closer, church. They're getting closer. Speeding up. Before I preach this morning, I want us to quickly stop and I want us to read some scripture here for a moment and pray that the word of the Lord today, God's word today, will be spoken, it'll be revealed, it will be received, and it will be implemented. Amen? God's word needs to be spoken. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I'm gonna speak God's word today. But it also needs to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be received by you. You gotta make that choice to receive it. And then here's the most important thing. Once you have all those things, what good is it if you don't implement it into your life and into your sphere of influence? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Can I get a testimony? I want you to pray that for me as I bring God's word to you, and then I want you to pray for you to bring God's word to someone else. Yeah. Explain the word of truth. Father, we come to you right now. We lift up your word to you. We lift up this opportunity to you. We lift up your word to be spoken, revealed, received, and implemented by the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Christ did on earth. And thank you for giving us your word. And Father, we look to you today. God, may you help me explain correctly the word of truth. God, that we can receive that. And I pray for each and every person hearing my voice right now, that God, it would go into their hearts. And maybe they don't have to explain it like I am today, but that they would correctly explain the word of truth to someone else. We live in a day and age, yes, of grace, but we live in the day and age that our testimony must be spoken everywhere that we go because we've heard enough bad news. We need the good news of you, Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Last week, we started the study of the first three books of Revelation. We started studying the seven churches found in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now, last week, I heard from a lot of you and some people I haven't heard from actually ever before that said, thank you, Pastor. You're talking about Revelation. Most of the time, I just skip over that book. Or I don't read that book. Hey, that's the truth will set you free. It's true. It's a very hard one. I'm going to be honest with you. This is the most studying of this book. I've read the whole book before, but this is the most studying of the book I've ever done. And he said, Pastor, thank you so much because I'm starting to understand some of this. And not only that, I read the rest of it myself. That's wonderful. Sometimes when you're really hungry and somebody gives you something to eat, you crave more. I don't want to eat iron, though. You're taking me off my point, man. When somebody feeds you the bread of life, we're out there, they said iron sharpens iron. This is true. This is true. But when somebody feeds you something when you're hungry, sometimes you crave more, right? What are you eating? What are you eating supernaturally? The definition of the word revelation is this, quote, the making known of something that was previously secret or unknown, end quote. The prophetic book of Revelation is the last book in our Bible, in the Bible. Studying the book of Revelation with a great perspective is one of the most practical, the most relevant, the most exciting things you can do as a believer in Christ Jesus. It really is. Don't be afraid of it. You don't have to ever understand everything. If you understand everything in the Bible, I want to meet you tomorrow at 9 a.m. in my office because I need to hear from you. I'll be in my office. I'm canceling everything. I'm listening to you. Well, I'll be there. If you know everything about God's word, y'all can line up. That'd be great. And I'm going to pray for the lies that you believe in your heart. I'm going to lay hands on you. And you're going to get set free. Hallelujah. And, mic drop. Come on, baby. The book of Revelation, it's the only prophetic book in the New Testament. And it brings with it a great blessing. Okay? I want to start something here before I keep preaching. There's going to be a lot of stuff today that I'm going to talk about that we need to get in our heart and we need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, but I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss that Revelation is some book just to give you a spanking. You're going to miss it completely. It's a book of love, a book of repent, repent. There's still grace. It's still here. You still have a chance to come back to me. This is what you're doing wrong, right? A good mom or dad tells their kids what's doing wrong. And whatever form of punishment that you choose to give, you give that punishment. If a bad parent's the one that allows your kids to keep acting a fool. So I'm thankful for the book of Revelation because it tells us where we're going wrong and it gives us a little pow-pow and then says, okay, turn it around and then you be blessed. I don't want to raise no brat. Come on now. Too many brats. Okay, moving on. Receive that. Power of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. This is the blessing. The blessing. God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. Thank you, Lord. And he blesses all who listen to the message and obey what it says. And obey what it says. Why? Say it, church. For the time is near. That's why. The Apostle John was exiled 2,000 years ago to an island called Patmos because his godly influence was great and his testimony of what Christ has done was transforming not only people, it was transforming churches, not only churches, regions, not only regions, it was transforming religions. His other disciples were martyred for their faith. And they were martyred for preaching. But the Romans decided to exile John to an island instead of killing him. You don't think God had a plan for that? It was on the island of Patmos where Jesus himself gave John a vision of things currently taking place right then, and then things to come. Jesus revealed far off future events, and he gave John messages for seven churches in Asia Minor as well. See, these incredible words from our Savior Jesus, these are words of encouragement. They're words of encouragement. Church, say encouragement. But they're also words of correction. The Lord's many messages offer a promise to him who overcomes. These letters of the seven churches identify each today with the struggles that Christians face right now, and they teach us to overcome our trials as well. For the first 4 weeks here in January, we're going to look at the seven churches found in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Then on the last Sunday, which is January 31st, we're going to be looking at our church here at First Open Bible and see what God is saying to us right now and for the year of 2021. Amen? Who are the seven churches Jesus is talking about in the book of Revelation? He's talking about these seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and everyone's favorite, Laodicea. These were literal churches. These churches existed in Asia Minor, which is now known as Turkey. These churches represented types of churches throughout history. These are types of churches. Now, scholars also believe this, that these seven letters to the messengers or the angels of the seven churches will show us a progression of the way the churches will go in the end times. At the end of the progression, or the last stage, it'll be like that of the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. So these seven letters, we're going to read two more today, by the way, should be interpreted historically, pastorally, practically, and with immediate application in our lives. These letters will give us some discernment as to where we are standing spiritually before the Lord. Where are we standing spiritually before the Lord as a church? And where are we standing before the Lord as an individual believer? So last week we dove into Revelation chapter 1. And we also learned about, in chapter 2, the first few verses, we learned about the church of Ephesus. Now this church of Ephesus, they did great things. They had strong doctrine. Woo! They had great patience and perseverance, and they rejected false teachers and false teachings. But they had one major tragic flaw. Do you remember what it was, church? They left, or they, like you said, lost. They left their first love. They forgot about their love for Jesus. They forgot about the main thing while they're even meeting together in the first place. Forgot about it. This morning we're going to dive into two more churches, the church of Smyrna and the church of Pergamos. You ready? If you're not, too bad. That's why you're here today. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you some quick high-level background. So Smyrna, this is a background of the city and the church itself in the city. Smyrna was the home of Homer and the temple of Athena. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful, bustling seaport. The church of Smyrna was poor, and the church of Smyrna was persecuted. And it was located in a beautiful city of wealth and commercial greatness. So this church in the city is full of greatness and wealth, but it's persecuted and poor. And in this city, there's a large population of Jews as well. Now, the city of Pergamos, this is the location of Rome's providential capital. This location was the official seat of the Roman government. Pergamos was a major cultural hub that housed a massive library that rivaled the great Alexandrian library. Pergamos, what kind of church was that? That was a doctrinally compromising church. Amen? Now remember, nothing physically, except for a few stones and maybe like a part of a structure that they believe, remains today. But spiritually speaking, so much of these churches still remain. Now let's go back to the definition of the word revelation. Do you remember what it meant? I'll remind you, quote, the making known of something that was previously secret or unknown, end quote. Proverbs 25:2 says this, it's God's privilege to conceal things and a king's privilege to discover them. Hallelujah. See, as we discover what God is saying to us this morning, through these next two letters, may we recognize the critical warnings as well as the amazing encouragement. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this, All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize, say realize, church, realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and it teaches us to do what is right. Praise God. Anybody need that today? God uses it. Verse 17, God uses it. God uses his scripture that's inspired by him. God uses the word of truth to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get into the letter of the church of Smyrna, the suffering church. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 through 11. I'm going to read out of the NLT. Verses 8 through 11 in Revelation chapter 2. This is a letter from Jesus to the messenger, or the angel, and some believe the pastor, the messenger of that church. Here it is. Verse 8. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last. Now notice what he says here, because he said it last week as well in the last verse. Who was dead but now is alive. Before we move anywhere, the reason why Christianity is so important and it is the true religion over any other religion is the same reason why Jesus keeps telling us and reminding us that everybody else's leader in their religion is dead, but our leader, our Savior, our Messiah, he's alive. And the reason why the disciples died the horrific deaths, the reason why John went to Patmos, thank you, starts with a P. The reason why he went to that island, he was willing to go and stay by himself for all those years and die a miserable death, worldly speaking, is because he saw Jesus raise from the dead. That's what separates Christianity. If you wonder, see, without Easter, there really is no point of Christmas. But with Easter, there's a big point of Christmas. See, without Easter, what do we have? So Jesus reminds us again that he's not dead, that he's alive. All right, verse 9. I know about your suffering, says Jesus talking to the church, and your poverty. But you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit. Here's the next part. And understand what the Spirit, he, is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Persecution. Christians in America, we got no idea the depth or the level of persecution that comes to believers all over the world. We're mad some people say some horrible things about our scripture that we put up on social media, and we think we're persecuted. Many believers around the globe are persecuted on the daily. People are beheaded for giving their allegiance to Christ Jesus. They are beheaded. Oh. People are given jail time. People lose their lifelong businesses. They lose their family homes. They lose their inheritance of the family land that they've had for generations and generations. People have their families tortured right in front of them for not renouncing Christ. Ridiculed and defaced. Their characters destroyed. They're mocked. They're harassed. These are just some of the things that people have to face for following Jesus. And such was the case for the ancient Christian church of Smyrna. Smyrna refused to worship pagan gods or the Roman emperors of the time. And because of that, they experienced great pressure, great poverty, and great persecution. The church of Smyrna, physically speaking, was poor, and they were persecuted. They were located in a beautiful city of wealth and commercial greatness. They were physically poor, most likely because of the economic boycott. No, you don't help that church out. No, you don't hire that person. I saw them going to that church. But they were very spiritually rich. Rich. These Christians not only received troubles from the secular world that lived around them, they were also persecuted by the Jews as well. What the Bible says in verse 9 is the Jewish synagogue belonged to Satan. Ooh. The city of Smyrna had a large population of Jews, and they made it very hard for the Christian church of Smyrna. The Jews were hostile and unbelieving, and their synagogue became a place for Satan to reign. Now, we notice in this letter to the messenger of the church of Smyrna that God gives praise to the church. Why? See, Jesus says, you've done really well right here. You've gracefully bear the suffering for my name. This church gets no criticism or critiques from God. Did you notice that? They're instructed to be fearless and be faithful, even unto death. And if you do, you will receive the crown of life. Hallelujah, amen? Crown of life. There's two churches out of the seven churches that do not receive a rebuke from Christ Jesus, and Smyrna was one of those churches. Surrounded by one of the ancient world's most beautiful cities, this congregation experienced the ugliness of oppression. This letter we've read together prepares us, and it prepares all believers for what might come to them in life if you follow Jesus. Did you hear me, church? This is a letter that is preparing us for what potentially may come if you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord and you don't bow down to the idols out there. Church, if some things don't change in the United States of America, we're going to experience these realities very soon. So, church, be fearless. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the first part of that says, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. See, Christ is the Lord over all circumstances, and we have nothing to fear. If you're afraid to die, then you haven't realized the power of Jesus yet. Because, oh death, where is your sting? If I'm to die for Christ, that is gain. Romans chapter 8 reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Nothing. Everyone say nothing. No, you gotta say nothing. There's no G. Nothing. Hallelujah. See, fear is the natural human response to something we don't fully understand. Fear is the natural human response to something we don't fully understand. Some of y'all are fearful right now because you don't quite understand. I'm going to pause for a second because I got to just say this. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. And we saw one in operation today that was the gift of prophecy. It was a prophetic word. It was an encouragement. It's an edification, a building up. It was calling something as maybe it's not now, but it could be or should be in God's eyes. It comes from our spirit, from God, and it is projected out to us in something that we understand. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. In church, at First Open Bible, I'm asking you as your pastor to do this. I'm asking you to do this. Now, we seek all the gifts. It says, eagerly desire, eagerly seek the gifts of the Spirit. But there, if you love Jesus, not one person in here today, not one person here today, I don't want you not to ask for this. You must seek the gift of discerning of spirits. We live in the day and age that there is so much truth that is flat out lies. There's so much stuff going on that we know is not going on. But you only know that if you are seeking discerning of spirits, because there are evil things out there right now that are feeding you. Feeding you, and it's just a bombardment of just information, of just death. And the Bible says, unless you seek him and you stand on his words, you're going to be tossed to and fro. Right? You're going to be tossed back and forth is a better words that we use now. You're going to be tossed back and forth for the new teachings or the new followings of what is going on today. I'm going to follow this. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch this news and that news and this. I'm going to get off this and get on this. And it's just, discerning of spirits. What does that mean? I'm going to know when the devil's talking, when God's talking. I'm going to know when you say something out of your mouth, oh, that ain't true. Something in me just gets, that ain't right. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to let that come into me and settle. Okay? Will you promise me that? Will you, this year, seek the gift of discerning of spirits? So that way when somebody's talking or something's coming at you or you're reading something or you're realizing something or you might even walk in a room and you feel something's going on in here and you break that curse in the name of Jesus. Say, something's going on in here. Some don't feel right. And I rebuke that by the power of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit right now, be gone. Right? Y'all hearing me? All right, what was I saying? Fear. Fear is a natural human response to something we don't fully understand. But we live supernatural lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, discerning of spirits. All right. So church, be fearless. Now church, don't forget to be faithful. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to read the back half of that verse that we already read. But if you remain faithful, even unto facing death, Jesus is going to give us what? The crown of life. Who can take that crown? Nobody. Jesus gives it to you, ain't nobody taking that. You'll wear that forever. When facing death, even if you face death, be faithful. Even if your family is getting ridiculed and torn apart. Even if you know people that you love are getting beheaded or whatever, be faithful and fearless. Because they might take this body, but they won't take my soul and my spirit. See, the church of Smyrna, I believe, was facing some great persecution in a city where the enemies surrounded them. Not only enemies of the world, but enemies of even God-fearing enemies, the Jews. But God was saying to them, I believe this, you may lose your life for me, but it's going to be okay because you're going to receive a crown of life from me. If you do something for God, you'll receive something from him. And unfortunately, the prosperity gospel has totally destroyed that. You think you do something for God, you should receive all these things. But when you do something for God, it's not always in the natural where you receive. My treasures are in heaven. If I desire just to be rich here on earth, come on now. You gonna take that with you? Nope. Think Bill Gates is gonna take all that money with him? He's not. Reverend David Jeremiah says it this way, quote, the word faith and the word faithfulness are the same word in the Greek. Interesting, though, because faithfulness comes from faith. Our faithfulness comes from our faith. If you trust in Christ, you will be shown to be trustworthy. If you rely on Christ, you will turn to be reliable. If you're dependent on Christ, you will be dependable. If you have faith in Christ, you will be faithful. So the way that you lose fear is to gain faith. If you want to be fearless, be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord in all you do. Be faithful to Him in what He has for your life. Be faithful to Him. And in your faithfulness to Him, your faith will be strengthened. In your faith, your faithfulness is strengthened. Then you will face life's challenges without fear. Because where fear used to live, faith has now moved in and taken over the whole house. End quote. Dr. David Jeremiah, good. Good. Here's the main point I want us to get across this morning. I want us to realize and pull away from this letter is suffering and persecution for Christ is not a bad thing. It's not a sinful thing. It doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It actually means you're standing up against evil and you're serving God, and oftentimes, most times, it means that you're doing something right. 2 Timothy 2, 9 through 12. For which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Praise God. Amen. All right. Somebody learn something? Somebody get set free? Hallelujah. One person, you want me to do that all over again? All right. Let's do it again here. Church of Smyrna. Let's move on to the Church of Pergamos. The compromising church. This one really hit me. This one really, really, really hit me. Maybe it's because we live in America, a Christian nation. It used to be a Christian nation. It's unfortunately not so Christian anymore, but we were founded on Christ. That will never go away, no matter how many times you take it out of the textbooks, teaching our kids, no matter what you want to do. We are founded on God, and if you don't believe it, then obviously you haven't read your American history. I like American history. I've read a lot of it. So that first one doesn't hit home quite like the other ones, but today I want to hit home on this one because this one unfortunately hits home. Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I'm reading out of the NLT. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne, yet you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me when Antipas was my faithful witness and was martyred among you there in Satan's city. Ooh, my. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offerings to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teachings. Repent, verse 16, of your sin, or I will come. Jesus will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 17, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of my manna that has been hidden away in heaven. And I will give to each one a white stone, and on that stone will be engraved a new name that only the one that's going to understand, the only one that's going to understand is the one that receives it. the city of Pergamos. Did you notice its nickname? Satan City. City of Pergamos is Satan City because of its paganism and its idolatry. Verse 13, when Jesus refers to Satan's throne, it may have been because the city supposedly had a 200-foot high altar for Zeus. Pergamos was the center of emperor worship. In addition to the city was the center of worship for Asclepius. Asclepius is the god of healing. And you know Asclepius' symbol? It was the serpent. See, another time I get to say I hate snakes. And y'all are like, I like snakes. Read God's word. Asclepius, whose symbol was a serpent. To Christians, whose symbol is a serpent? Y'all act like you don't know. Satan. Petco sells Satan.
Hallelujah.
Not really. But get where this city was and what it did. Antipas. See, that was the first guy, that was the first Christian in Asia to be martyred for his faith. Professing faith in Jesus Christ carried a severe consequence in this pagan community. The church demonstrated conviction and courage. Okay, imagine a church pops up in North Korea. This church demonstrated conviction and courage, right? By its mere existence. Yet idolatry crept into this congregation. Jesus acknowledges this church lives in a city of evil, and they remained loyal. Well done. That is wonderful. I'm sure it was super, extremely hard to do that. But they kept the faith. But there was this slow fade into tolerance. A slow fade to let sin slip in and the wisdom of the world to control their thinking and their actions. A slow fade, like they had, will eventually become a raging river that destroys everything in its path. What happened? They tolerated immorality, idolatry, and heresies. The church of Pergamos married the gospel of Jesus with paganism. And Christ gave a strong rebuke because of it. It's in verse 16. I'm going to read it again. Repent of your sin. Repent. Or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them. Who is them? Them is the promoters of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. It's in that letter. Repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. See, the blending of beliefs plagued God's people since the days of early Israel, and unfortunately, it still exists today. Churches have and are now and will crumble under the banner of tolerance. I think I'm losing some of y'all. Did you catch what I just said? Because it's super, super important because we live in this. Whatever Satan cannot curse and crush, he will try to corrupt through compromise. Believers, we're not called to be combative. Okay? Set somebody free. Get off Facebook for a moment. You're like, oh, I'm going to tell everybody my opinion. Nobody asked you. Nobody asked you. Why are all these people mad at me? Because you keep spitting hate, man. I'll set somebody free today. Man, you say more about political stuff than you do God's word. Knock it off. Man, something just rose up in me about that. Right now is the greatest time that we can share the gospel of reconciliation and love. There is no greater time than right now. Believers, we're not called to be combative and constantly making rivals, but we surely are not to act in the matter of Pergamos Church either. Wherever corruption and compromise seek a foothold, followers of Christ, we need to be vigilant, sober-minded, we need to be on guard, and we need to speak truth in love. So what's the goal of confronting sin? It should be reconciliation, not condemnation. Did Jesus do that to you? Does Jesus do it to us now? It's reconciliation by conviction, not condemnation. You got the wrong God. A day is coming soon when Christ is going to judge every soul. Until that day, we have a job to do. Lead, Churchill, give me, lead people to the cross. Lead them to the cross. Teach them the gospel of reconciliation. I get you're feeling like that. I get that you have that going on. But let me tell you about me and what happened in my life. Let me tell you how I was set free from all that hatred, all that misunderstanding, all that anger, all that prejudice stuff, all that bias, all that junk that's going on. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you. Now, today's churches have been so fixated on being relevant that they have become irrelevant. People all over the globe find little in local churches that is different than them, so they may remain disinterested. When the wisdom of the world is mixed with faith of the Bible, you create heresy, and heresy sends people to hell. Things like woke Christianity, things like progressive Christianity, they pollute the minds of the eager but not grounded, unwise believers. They're led astray by the heretical doctrine of grace and love only. It's a partial political gospel of Jesus Christ. Their teachings pervert grace and replace liberty with license. It's called heresy. In the letter of the letter that's to the church, or the messenger of the church of Pergamos, it speaks of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. Hold on with me, I got something. One more good thing that God wants to say today. Probably a lot more things, but there's one more. It speaks of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. This doctrine is a mixture of faith and worldly beliefs. Humanism and theology mixed together only creates worldly teachings with a twisted, watered-down idea of a higher power. I mean, think about what people believe right now. I can take whatever I want. Philippians 4:13 is, I can go get drunk and go get high and go sleep anybody where I want to. Philippians 4:13. Now, you might think that's funny, but literally that is the mentality that God does what I want him to do, and I'm going to place some of these upon me when I want them, but I don't want the whole thing. You're mixing faith and worldly beliefs. Someday you're going to receive some sort of enlightenment. That you're going to, someday, you're going to receive all these things that you think that are right in your mind, in your beliefs. And it's not based off of God's word. It's based off of everything you've ever walked through, or whatever doctrine or whatever religion or belief that the world is saying, and you're picking and you're choosing. It's like a Burger King, man. I'm going to have it my way. I'm going to pick and choose whatever I want, and I'm going to eat. You're settling for a hamburger when you could have the greatest steak in the world. Evolution, horoscopes, secular teachers. How about secular college classes on relativism, psychology, anthropology? We could go on and on and on. So we look around in our world today and we say, man, there's a really low biblical worldview in America right now. It's less than 17%. And we say, how did this happen? Now, some of y'all with the wisdom on their head, got some gray hair going on. Y'all remember the days where you're like, man, everybody went to church. Everybody knows the gospel. I remember, man, all those great felt boards and Jesus walking along with his little disciples, right? And you know, and they grabbed a little boat, shaking a little bit, you know, ooh, right? You remember all that. See, back when you were younger, 17 was much greater. But the reality of today, it's much less than 17% that even have a biblical world view of what is going on today in America, the free country of America, the Christian country of America. There's really only 17% or less that actually believe what that maybe they've been taught. How did this happen? Let me tell you how it happened. God gave me this revelation. Kids taken out of churches. Homes not teaching the word as truth. Secular teachers raising our children with minds like the Nicolaitans. Children, for decades, have been raised with a mixture of faith and falsehood. Remember what God hates? Do you remember what God spits out of his mouth? It's not hot nor cold, it's the mixture. It's when they come together and they create lukewarmness. We have taken our kids out of Sunday school, we've taken them out of children's church, out of youth ministry, and we have not been teaching the Bible at home, and we say it's their choice to believe what they want. Now I'm preaching. What do you think's gonna happen? What do you think they're gonna believe when you feed them only one way to believe? They get beliefs from state-funded school systems, corrupt, broken government, washed-down gospel preachers who tickle ears instead of setting hearts on fire by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Our world is in the shape that it is in right now because the church as a whole has been like the church of Pergamos for far too long. One main thing we can pull away from today, from the letter of the Church of Pergamos, would be to guard against the mixture of true doctrine. True doctrine is only found in one place, it's in God's word. And if you believe anything else, guess what? You're like a Nicolaitan. You're not worshiping the same God I worship. You're not believing the same things I believe. You are not truly set free. You are your own God. Because you're picking what he says is right and wrong. You are an idol worshiper. You worship yourself, your feelings, and your perspective. Man, we sang songs about fire. We got a word today. It was in this area, right? We got a word, and the fire of God is purifying this morning. See, if we believe that true doctrine is only from God's word, this might make us intolerant in the eyes of some. If so, then let it be. Then let it be. See, we can't define the truth by preference. Truth exists outside of popular opinion, and it does not bend to popular demand. Are you guys okay that it's not cool anymore to be a Christian? It's more cool to be tolerant of everything else going on, and you can be whoever you want to be. Who cares what God has made you to be? He's died for you to be, but you can be anything you want to be. You all right with that? I wasn't very cool anyway. Right? Anybody else not cool? Come on now. Get a testimony. I ain't cool for the Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says this. See, this is what I love about God. Okay, we're wrapping up. We're almost there, church. This is what I love about God. Give me credit. Yeah, it's a long thing. You preach on two churches on two things, right? It's like two sermons in one. You're trying to squish it together. You got to do what you got to do. Okay? Hold on. Woo! I'm going for a ride. This is what I love about God. Is He exposes the darkness, but then he leads you to the light. What God does is this, is he reveals the dirtiness of us in our hearts, but then he provides the water to wash us. He exposes the sin and the wrong concepts of our mind and even our own religion. And he says, I'm gonna wash you in my word. I'm gonna give you the mind of Christ. Put on this helmet I've provided. This is what I love about God. There's always an answer. There's always grace. There's always a time to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Look to him and be set free. That's the God we serve. It's not the God of condemnation. It's the God of conviction and freedom and liberty. Verse 16 says this, repent of your sin. Mm-hmm. 2021 better be a year that the church learns that word. Because if you don't, you will not be existing in America. You won't. Repent of your sin. I'm crying because God's revealing things that I've done. My personal preference, where I didn't feel like it. My own thoughts. My own bias, my own wicked heart. Repent, church, of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. What is this verse saying? It says this, if we don't repent of these sins, in First Open Bible, Jesus will personally come. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come and purge the church with his word of judgment. I don't want that. We faced enough in 2020 and in our lives. We don't need self-sabotage. We as a church must go to war against the heretics, or God's going to do it for us. Within our own church, we must clean up our act, or Jesus is going to clean it up for us. Worship team, can you come, please? Verse 17. This is so important. Here's where you apply it. Verse 17, anyone. Is somebody an anyone? Say, I'm an anyone. Oh my goodness, I'm an anyone. Y'all need me to tell you how beautiful and handsome you are and get some confidence in you and how God loves you, the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're of a royal priesthood. You are God's one and only son and daughter. He died for you. Your inheritance is in him. Now, who in here isn't anyone? Okay, better. Okay. Sometimes let me be reminded, and that's all right. That's what I'm here for right now. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. And I'll give each one a white stone, and on that stone will be an engraved of a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. My wife Wednesday, where's she at? She's back there somewhere. My wife Wednesday, she said this, just because you have ears doesn't mean you're listening. I think she was talking to me, but I wasn't listening. What'd you say, baby? Something about dishes, what? I don't. No, but for real, in the spiritual. Just because you have ears does not mean that you are listening. But if you listen and do what God is asking for us to do, church, God will provide hidden manna. Hidden provision. What is manna? It's provision. God provision. It's hidden strength. It's hidden health. God will provide a white stone with a new name. See, that new name comes with the character of Christ. He's given us a new life, and he'll give us a new name with a new inheritance. If we as a church and us as individual believers hold fast to sound doctrine, Christ will commend us for being faithful, just as he did to the martyr of Antipas. Church, will you stand with me? We, as a body of believers, we as individuals, must repent of anything. Church, say anything. Anything that is not founded on Christ. Our preferences, chairs, I don't know what's going on over there. Somebody getting set free over there? Hallelujah. See, no matter what we are facing, we need to be founded on Christ. Our preferences, our opinions, our actions, our mindsets, our beliefs, and most of all, our allegiance must be in Christ and in Christ alone. If it's in anything else, you're worshiping a false idol. This morning, Jesus is extending. I love this. Jesus is extending his grace again for us to be victorious through repentance. Be victorious through repentance. To hear what God is saying and understand what he is saying. And if we do that, there's going to be a great blessing for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. If you've received a word today and you believe that that word some way, one another, somehow that was for you, I'm going to ask you to do something. Assume a position of repentance before we go. I'm not even tell you what it is. Whatever God is saying, assume a position of repentance as I pray and close and as we sing this last song. Father, I thank you for your word. It's revelation to our hearts. It's revelation to our minds, our actions, and our position and our authority that you've given us here in Christ Jesus. But God, I thank you so much for your conviction. That we're afraid that if we face anything that's going on, or all of a sudden our bank account is low, or we're getting persecution at work, that we think something's wrong and God doesn't love us. That is not the case. That is not even biblical. But God, if persecution comes because we're doing something for you, God, you're going to give something to us. Something's coming from you, and I pray for that. If there's persecution coming, God, I ask that right now you prepare us to be faithful and fearless to face that. We will not renounce your name. We will lift you high. And God, if we've mixed any doctrine of the world with the doctrine of you, and we've compromised what you say is truth, because of the sake of somebody's opinion or hurting their feelings or whatever, God, whatever we have done, forgive us, God. Forgive us for what we've done. We want a pure flow from you, from the pulpit into our hearts. A pure flow. God, if there's any wicked way in us, see that wicked way. Cleanse it and make us righteous again before your eyes. God, I pray that our lives truly be for your glory. In the midst of what we're facing today, you are the God of grace, the God of hope, the God of reconciliation, the God of love, and you're coming soon. We love you. We praise you. We do this in the name above every name, Jesus' name. Amen.